Psalm 116. This is a little bit of an unusual message for you, but I think one might be very timely for some of us that may have relatives or friends for whom we've prayed for many years. Psalm 116, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, "The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." I call this message deathbed salvation, or you may have heard of it as deathbed conversions. But here is a psalmist writing about what appears to be a time when he would be close to death. The sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. So these two verses in Psalm 116 appear to describe a person who turns to the Lord late in life, or maybe even close to death, like a deathbed conversion or salvation. And you know, truthfully, some people will wait till the end of their lives to finally call upon the Lord for salvation. And this text explains to us what causes them to finally come to the Lord. And the first is the sorrows of death. You see that in verse 3? The sorrows of death compassed me, he says. You know, religion is okay while you're vibrant and alive. You know that? And so as people have practiced a religion for a long period of time, and they are living in good health, everything seems to be okay. Their superstitions and all that are associated with whatever religious things they do can carry them. But when they get close to death, the sorrows of death, all of a sudden, in many cases, that religion is no match for death. People need something a lot more certain than a priest's prayer like last rites or an infant baptism. They're facing eternity without assurance. And I remember a case like that back when I was in Beeville. A lady that used to work with me when I was at the bank, her name was Lolly, and she had gotten cancer. I hadn't seen her in quite some time because I'd gone to the ministry, but I'd heard about it, and I always liked her, you know, as far as an employee and stuff. So I went by to see her, and she was at a place at the advancement of her cancer where she could no longer get into bed, so they had made a pallet on the floor in the living room area, and that's where she was spending her last days. So I sat down on the floor next to her. We chatted a bit about the bank, and then I started to turn the conversation to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, that was a person who was affected by the sorrows of death. She knew there was no more living to be done, that this cancer was in its last stages, and she was indeed feeling the sorrows. And her religion was no match for what she was going through. And I told her that the Bible had a message for her. And opened up the Bible, and we very carefully went through each verse of Scripture pertaining to salvation. And I'm telling you, I mean, when she saw the assurance that is in the words of truth in the gospel about receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, no holds barred. She cried out to God like this person did. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And she received Jesus Christ as her Savior. It was interesting because her husband, whom I also knew, was overhearing our conversation in the next room. He was eavesdropping. And I was hoping that we would get another soul on a ricochet. But he came in there after he saw, and she's now got tears in her eyes. She's smiling. And he said, come here, I want you to see something. And so we go into the hallway where he had a little altar and a statue of Mary. And he said, this is where I get my God thing. And every morning what he would do is go by and rub the toes of that statue. He had rubbed all the paint off. It was down to the porcelain. And he rubbed it again and crossed himself and kissed his thumb. And I thought, what a contrast. What a contrast. The main difference, obviously, is one saved, one is lost. One is happy-go-lucky, still healthy, and go to work. The other one, the sorrows of death had compassed her. And she needed something more than, right, the toes of a statue. And she found it in Jesus Christ. I remember another lady was at the hospital and somebody told her she ought to go by and see her because we don't think she's saved. I knew her and her husband very well. Her name is Sandra. And she was in the hospital and it was a terminal illness. And she was at first frightened that we were there because when you see somebody that's dressed about like I am coming in, you're thinking they've been told that I'm going to just have 24 hours or something. And so at first she was really, really reserved in our conversation. But after a while, she realized whatever she was going through, she was not ready to face eternity. And so Ann went through the gospel with her and asked her if she wanted to receive Christ. And she said yes. And Ann asked her, if you do, why don't you take my hand and pray with me? And she did. I watched. I peeked. We're praying, but I peeked. And Sandra was just staring at Ann as they were going through the prayer. And so you wonder what that was all about, but she was listening carefully and praying to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a sense of peace and relief that came over her. Religion can't give you, you know? So one of the things that gets people is the sorrows of death. Another thing in these deathbed salvation experiences is this: the pains of hell get hold upon me. So the sorrows of death would be one, but the other, I mean, because now life is over. What is there more to life than this? All right, but the other would be the pains of hell. There's a genuine fear that some people might feel that they're going to wind up in hell because of the bad things they've done in their life. And at the time they're doing the bad things, it's happy-go-lucky. But now that the bad things that they have done are culminating in their death, or they're facing death without some resolution or reconciliation with God over the bad things they've done, it really causes them to be afraid. And I've told you about a neighbor that we had here in Corpus Christi in the first house where we lived, who had actually been to church here a dozen times. He was a Korean War veteran and was an usher out at the Navy Chapel. Out there on the base. I say the Navy Chapel, but the base chapel. And I went to see him after it was discovered that he had brain cancer. And he was genuinely concerned that he had done enough bad things that he might not make it to heaven. Well, when I told him that the Bible had an answer for those bad things and he could solve that problem today by receiving Jesus Christ, he wanted to hear the gospel. And I've told you about it before, but as I would read a passage of Scripture like that, he would just take the New Testament out of my hand like this, and then he would read those verses. He looked at me, he goes, yeah, I believe that, and then he handed it back, what else? And then I'd go to another verse of Scripture, and I'd read it and explain it, and he'd pull that Bible out of my hand, he'd look over there, and he'd read those very carefully, and he'd look at me like that. He goes, I believe that. Believe every word of it. And hand it back to me like he went through the whole gospel that way. But I'm telling you, when the slate was clean and he was saved, there was no more fear and concern about there was nothing but a smile. He knew he could face the rest of whatever he had to face on this side because he wasn't going to face God at a judgment and have his soul sent to hell. That'll do it. I remember when we were in Beeville, there was a postal carrier who we knew through his wife, and pretty rough hombre. And Mary Mixon had called me one day, and I used to have, you remember how your answering machines, remember how you had two cassettes, one for your outgoing message, remember that? All right, and one for the incoming message. And I had an outgoing message on my phone, Let's see. You know, I'm one of those guys that remembers where the verse is located on the page, but I can't remember which one of the ones it was in. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small, right? If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to die, to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keep, that was a long outgoing message, by the way. And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Don't let him die without hearing the gospel. Beep! And she was like, I called to tell you something else, but that thing has put me under such conviction. This guy lives down the street from me. You got to come now. I think he's dying of cancer. And I went down there, and genuinely he was also concerned that he might wind up in hell after this. And gave him the gospel. And he was like, that's what I've been needing. He wasn't a churchgoer. He didn't know anything about that. And, you know, he had two sons. When I went there, they were kind of like, what are you doing here? They weren't happy about that. One of them was a guy that had been in the Army, and he was giving me a hard time about being there. But after I talked to the dad, and his dad got saved, I came back two days later for a visit, and the man was, you know, same deal. I'm hurting from the cancer, but I'm smiling about where this is going to end up. And his son, who went by initials R.D., pulled me to the side. He said, I am really sorry that I gave you such a hard time about coming to see my dad. This is very hard for me because I've been gone a lot in deployments for my dad to be like that. And I'm thinking, what's this preacher going to come over here and do? He said, but I've talked to Dad, and I now know he's saved. And I really apologize. He said, when I got to our first deployment, we were in a forward base, and I was scared to death about what might happen to me. And I went to see the chaplain, and he led me to the Lord. And I'm so glad, he said, that you've come to lead my dad to the Lord. You know what gets him? You know what gets him? The pains of hell. And one other thing gets him, and that's the trouble. He said here, trouble, and I found trouble and sorrow. The trouble and sorrow. I remember distinctly. Remember Edith Solik here? She had a friend that was in Sinton, and she was real concerned that her friend might not be saved. And she said, she's in the hospital, and I don't think it's good. Would you go see her? So I did, and she was there with her daughter. And sure enough, boy, she was crusty. But what had happened is, in her case, she was saved. She had been in a church there, I think in Sinton, where the preacher or a youth pastor had done bad things to minors. And she was bitter. And you can understand. And I am never going to set foot in a church again. Well, she became a real skeptic about the things of the Lord and Bible and preachers and all that. She wouldn't have anything to do with it. But you know what? When the trouble and sorrow, the reflection of trouble and sorrow in life came to the head, and I was there, and we started talking about, you know, the Bible and Jesus Christ and the gospel. I left, and she told her daughter, I have something to tell you. Get all the kids together. There were four of them. And she said, kids, I have a confession to make. And she told them that she was saved. And boy, you talk about relief, because every one of them was saved, and they had been praying for that lady for her entire life. 3 weeks later, she died. I did her funeral. And you know how we do the funerals and we take the New Testaments? I had 16 with me, and I preached, and all of her old crusty friends were there as well. And I said, you know what? This skepticism will hold up pretty good until you're lying on your deathbed, and then it's not enough to get you through. And I said, Peg came to that conclusion, and I'm telling you, you need to seriously consider the claims of Christ no matter what. And I brought New Testaments, blah, 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 blah. You know the story. All right. They, They didn't wait, Milton. They didn't wait for me out there in the foyer. They were coming forward, getting those New Testaments through there after I preached that gospel. And one of the ladies said, "This is the third time in 1 month that I've had to go to a funeral for a friend of mine, and I've heard the same gospel message all three times. I think it's time for me to get saved." I thought, oh, man. I remember years ago when we were in Beeville at the Spanish mission, Fernando Alemán led an 80-year-old lady to the Lord, a lady in her 80s to the Lord. And same thing. All of her life was bitter and troublesome. She was one of those that she was on the outs with every family member. And when she realized that God would forgive her of that and let her be saved and be with him in heaven for eternity, in spite of what she'd done in the past, she took up Jesus Christ on the offer. And when Fernando Alemán went back the next day to visit with her, she was like, "I have made a list of every one of my family members and their phone numbers, and I want you to call them and have them come to the hospital because I owe every one of them an apology, and I want to tell them that I've gotten saved and that they need to get saved too." And he called them all, and I mean, they were lined up in the hall, and one by one they went in there, and she reconciled with every one of them. You know, that's a changed life. That's a changed life. So why are we having this message tonight? Well, for a couple of reasons. Number one, a person calling upon the Lord for salvation on their deathbed can get right to the point of salvation just like the thief on the cross did. Do you understand? They don't have time to make up for all the stuff they've done in their past. But you see in verse 4, when the sorrows and the pains and the trouble and sorrow came, verse 4, "Then called I upon the name of the Lord." What did he say? "O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." It just got to the point. Peter's fall in the water, "Lord, save me." The thief on the cross, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." You know, you get to the point. So the first thing about this tonight is you may know somebody who's in this condition. Get to the point and let them get to the point. There's no need to preach the real gospel. But if they realize that they're in need of the Savior, it doesn't take a whole rigmarole. Just get to Jesus and get saved. Okay? And the second thing is, you may have been praying for somebody for years who still isn't saved. And you're getting frustrated almost to the point that you want to give up. Don't quit praying for them until they die. Because you don't know in the closing days of their life, maybe closing weeks of their life, you don't know what these three things are doing in their life. And now that they are doing their work, the pains of hell, the sorrows of death, the trouble and sorrows are doing their work, you want to be there and you want to be ready to give them an opportunity to hear the gospel or hear the gospel one more time and get saved. And you say, well, what if they can't talk? They can squeeze your hand. They have some way of giving you an affirmative response. And you may have heard of those. I've heard of those kinds of responses. They say that the auditory function is the last function, right? You've heard it. Several of you are nodding your head that sometimes they may not be able to see, but they can hear. Maybe they can't talk, but they can hear. You know what? If these three things, any one of these three things might be happening in their life, you want to be there with the gospel. You want to be there with the gospel. You say, well, I just don't. Yeah. Don't worry about, I just don't believe that somebody can get saved that late in life. If they're still breathing, they can still get saved. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay? Just remember that. It might come in real handy one day. Father, thank you tonight for giving us some instruction out of the Scripture. It's really important here and certainly important to the destiny of a friend or loved one we know that hasn't yet trusted Christ. Help us to be faithful to be there when this time comes in their lives and to be praying until that time comes for Jesus' sake. Amen.